Hey guys, it's Chris, and I'm back with a Star Wars The Last Jedi Episode 8 review. I have here my cousin Eric and my cousin Dustin as well.
Isley.
So I saw it last night, and they saw it this morning, and we wanted to do a proper review. And I wanted to do one last night, actually, but I wanted to process it. You go into these movies, just like Episode 7, right, and you see the Star Wars, you see the crawl, you hear the John Williams score, and you get all excited. And you come out thinking, okay, I just saw Star Wars. It was awesome. And then you start thinking about it, and there were some problems. There were some major problems.
Honestly, I'll have to say that didn't happen for me on this one.
Yeah, I will say... That was for Episode 7. This one actually, right, the opening scene, we picked up right where we left off, where she hands over the lightsaber, yeah. And when he threw it over his shoulder, I didn't laugh. There were some comic things going on.
Well, what I was going to say before we get into this is, when I hearken back to when I saw the prequels. When I first saw Episode 1, which, by the way, I absolutely hate the prequels. I know some people like them. I'm one of those people who is not a fan of Jar Jar. When I first saw the prequels, I remember sitting there, I was excited because it was the first time I'd seen Star Wars in forever.
Yes, exactly.
And I was all hyped up, and then I left, and I got home, and a few days went by, and I watched it again. When it came out on video. You know, I was like, okay, this movie sucks. Well, this time around, it wasn't like that. It was like, as soon as the movie was over, it was dead silence in the theater.
Yes.
People were walking out pissed.
They were.
Including myself. My wife even said, she looked at me and saw the look of disgust on my face. It's like, you know, what was that? What did we just watch?
Yeah, I mean, it was the same thing for me. You know, like you said, going into the old ones, it's Star Wars, you ain't seen it in so long. Again, let me preface this with, this is my first love. This was the first movie I saw in a theater in 77, both of us. And so... I ain't never stole a man's horse I didn't like. I'm going to hack on this movie a little bit because I love Star Wars, but this movie, it didn't work. And visually, it was great. Visually, it was outstanding. So that, let me say that first. Visually, it worked. Everything was gorgeous. There was a couple little minor things I wouldn't really nitpick and worry about. But let's start with the overall plot or story, because I don't think there was one. I don't think we picked up where we left off. Rey comes in knowing nothing from Episode 7.
Right.
We don't know who she is. There's all this hype and build up. But at the end of this movie, she doesn't know any more than she does in the beginning. Let's start with the preface, right? That you have to believe in for this whole thing to work. For all the side stories.
Right.
The Rey training. Well, training. the side story with Finn.
There's so much.
Yes. The side story with Finn is really a big thing because, you know, Finn's a major character and he teams up with this new girl. You find out she's the sister. Now, I will say the opening space battle was good. It was pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah.
Pretty good space battle, classic Star Wars. But then here's where it gets a little bit dumb, for lack of a better word, right? Because I will suspend my disbelief for sci-fi and fantasy. You know, Star Wars is always, George Lucas has always ignored, like, actual physics in space. Like, there's explosions, there's sound, all that good stuff. I'm totally down with that. So Leia says... Get out of the range of these Star Destroyers, right? You got to get out of the range so their weapons are no longer effective. Okay, I can deal with that. So they shoot in any ways, don't really hurt anything because somehow they lose their effectiveness in space. I'll give you that.
Well, yeah, Star Wars is not meant to be taken as a perfect world.
And I'll say this before we get too deep in it. You know, as you get older, you get a little more cynical about these things.
Yeah.
But I'll give them the range thing, okay? No big deal there. The problem is, she says, Leia, I think Leia specifically said, if we get out of the range, the fighters will have to go back. And I'm like, why? They don't, are they RC remote controlled? I mean, what, they run out of fuel or something that quick? I mean, do they have to go, go back? They can't continue to engage them.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of is maybe because they're small fighters. Because they even mentioned that in one of the other Star Wars movies, whenever they see the...
There's
a small fighter. It's too small to be out this far. Maybe they just have to stay near or something.
They still have fuel individually and all that stuff. I don't get why they couldn't engage. The point being here for me is You have the First Order, who have the technology now. Now, this is big in Star Wars lore.
Mm.
They have the technology now to track people through hyperspace.
Right.
That was a big deal in this story. That was the actual big deal in this story.
Yeah.
So they have that ability to do that, but they don't have the ability to go a little bit faster than these old fucking clunker chips that the Rebellion has, or the Resistance.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Resistance has some god-awful chips.
So they couldn't go a little bit faster to catch up.
Yeah.
Or send three or four, send, they had to fight 7, 8 Star Destroyers behind them. Send three or four ahead, about 4 or 5 miles.
Whatever your distance
Whatever distance is in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
And cut them off. They couldn't do any of that. They actually said, you know what? We're going to let these fuckers run out of gas.
Yeah, they're on a string.
They're on a string.
They're on a string.
They're going to run out of gas. So apparently, with even though the First Order's running, I told you before, 93 octane.
Yeah.
These guys running 87 trash gas.
Yeah.
That was their plan. We don't have the technology to really fight them in space. We're just going to cruise along at the same speed. We can't catch up. They'll run out of gas.
This was a really ragtag resistance. This was not even as good as the Resistance was in the original trilogy. I mean, these guys are down to very small numbers. I think I heard at one point they said, 7 ships with 400 people or something like that?
Yeah, and they ended up in the end of this thing with 5 or 6 people.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
If you include a couple porgs. So.
And their ships, and they had these bombers, which were, like, insanely slow.
It looked, the battle was good, and I liked the suspense build up with the girl who was the last bomber, and they blew up the big,
classic
Juggernaut.
The Juggernaut ship. Whatever it was called. That was kind of cool. So the space battle was good. But anyway, so that's the overall premise of the whole story. While everything's taking place, they're literally running from them because they're just moving at the same speed. These guys can't go faster. The guys who can make a fucking weapon out of a planet can't go any faster. They can track people through hyperspace, but they can't just bump it up to, third gear.
To ludicrous speed.
To whatever. So that's the premise that this whole thing's based off of, why all these side stories are going on.
Right.
So let's...
This movie should not be called The Last Jedi. It should be called Star Wars: The Quest for Gas.
It should have been called Star Wars: We Send Mixed Messages.
Yes.
So the big plot line is Luke being the last Jedi, right? So we go to Octo. Mm-hmm. Luke is on the island. They're supposed to be he finally agrees to train Rey. One of the great things in this movie was R2. When he decides to train Rey, it's because R2 played the original Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia,
yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, help us, your only hope.
That was a little feels moment there.
It was. It was a throwback, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. So that was a great moment. So he decides to train her. Again, that's loose. I use that loosely. He decides to train her, and then we never really got any training.
There's like two lessons.
It was like a lesson in meditation.
Right.
And then he was done.
And
how many times can they use the walk away thing? She goes up, asks for help. He says, get the fuck out of here, and walks off. He just keeps on doing it. They do it like 10 times.
Side note there, I think what was going on here, and as much as they were trying not to be Empire Strikes Back, it was Empire Strikes Back. That whole scene with Luke, it was basically the same deal. It was done a little differently. But if you harken back to whenever Yoda's training Luke, he actually trains him though. Other than this bullshit,
I always used to make fun of that. I called it the Weekend at Bernie's or the Weekend at Yoda's.
Yeah,
because it was like 2 or 3 things. But at least he did something.
They don't even do that
handstands and carry Yoda around and lifted rocks. They don't do that.
But I think that's what they were trying to do. But they just never got there.
Yeah, and I have no problem with the rhyming of of Empire. You know, they're supposed to rhyme. George Lucas said this, but. And that's what the big criticism for me of Episode 7 was. It was way too much.
It was almost identical. Yeah.
It was an identical movie to A New Hope. This one, he did a lot better as far as not overdoing the rhythm of Empire Strikes Back. So that was fine. But
although I will say, I felt like that scene at the end with the big gun, that was basically Hoth.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Around. You had the trench scene. I mean, had all that. That's fine. And I understand it's supposed to rhyme, and it wasn't overdone this time like it was in Episode 7. Okay, so big payoffs. Let's talk about those so-called payoffs.
Oh yeah.
We've had 4 years now, basically, of build up for Rey.
Who's Rey's parents?
Who's Rey's parents?
Who is Rey?
Who is Rey?
We don't know.
We had theories. I had theories. I didn't have. Now here's one. Now we I will say theories. A lot of people are going to be mad that I'm being. I mean, I'm being honest. I can't just come in here and say, oh, it was great because it was Star Wars. No, I just can't. So there might be a lot of people mad, and people may say, well, you wanted Rey to be Luke's daughter, or you wanted Rey to be Obi-Wan's granddaughter, or yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't have a dog in the fight. I would have been fine with anything, as long as it was it made sense. But the problem here is you had this huge buildup. This entire last movie, you had Daisy Ridley saying she thought it was obvious in the last movie, in which we were all thinking wasn't really obvious at all.
Right.
Then you had the actual scene of them leaving her, so that represented somebody being important, not just some damn, you know, gamblers. So, and then this movie, she goes down in the dark pit, you know, representing kind of the cave on Dagobah. She goes into the I called it the mirror, you know, the mirror room, and you know that represents the past and the future. I can understand, that's fine. It's a force vision type thing.
Right.
Reaches out, she says, "Give me a glimpse of my parents," and you see. The fog clear up, and it's her. It's just a reflection of her, another damn mirror, and she didn't get any answers. And she right. actually goes back and tells Kylo Ren this. And then, when they touched, apparently, they exchanged futures or something. So, that's fine. New Force abilities was another cool thing about the movie. It did introduce some new things that we hadn't seen before.
Right.
But the Rey thing, it actually, for all the build-up, for all these years, it came down to Kylo sitting there saying, in the throne room, after they killed all the guards and Snoke, and he literally said, like, it was almost like a slap in the face to people who do YouTube or people who theory craft yeah. and fans in general. Oh, by the way, you don't have a part you're in this nothing. Story. Yeah. You're nothing.
He basically told her she was garbage.
Basically. So, now, I get the idea that they were trying to go with was that Rian Johnson wanted to say that, because we heard Luke say, I thought I saw this magical Skywalker blood and yeah. Ben Skywalker.
Right.
And end up being that he was dark and whatever. So I get the idea of what they were trying to do. Like, it's not special about the Sky. The Force doesn't belong to the Skywalkers. That's right. What he basically said. I get the idea. But the way they pulled it off and the payoff literally being a sentence going, you're nothing. You don't even have a part to play in this story. Now I don't really care much about her anymore.
In Star Wars, that what makes you care about these characters is their story arc. Watching them grow. Watching them become whatever they're going to be. Whether right. it's a Jedi. Whether it's a, you know, Kylo Ren becoming the great Sith Lord or whatever. I don't even know what he is. I mean, to me, yeah, he's still basically the same thing he was in the last movie. He's a mad kid tearing up crap.
Absolutely the same. And then, you know, you had the whole... and he did say, he kind of kept saying, you know, kill the past. That was another theme. Let's get rid of the, you know, the hell with all the Sith and the Jedi and all that right. stuff. And this is where the mixed message stuff comes in. So here's my next point. It's called The Last Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say that Luke is the last Jedi.
Right.
Luke decides at one point he's going to go burn down the temple and the books. Somebody took the books, by the way. They're on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Somebody was still wanting the relics, okay?
Yeah.
But he goes to burn down the tree. And then he's like, well, nah, maybe I shouldn't. Then we see Yoda. Now, that was a good part.
Right.
Another good part of the movie was Yoda, and they were smart enough to make him...
And make it actual
Empire
puppets.
Yoda.
And made it, yeah.
Yes. Now, he looked a little too dark at first, but then once he became, like...
He almost came like he was there.
Like he was there. Yeah. Then he looked better.
Yeah.
But Yoda's still having to beat Luke over the head with his cane. He was the Empire Yoda, the older right. guy who was kind of, you know, right. giggly. So that was cool. But Yoda's like, yeah, I agree. It's time for it to end. And he brings a lightning bolt down from the sky and burns that shit up. And Luke's like, wait a minute, what about the fucking books? He's like, you're just going to burn it down with a candle. So they say it's time for the Jedi Order to end.
Right.
Yoda agrees to Luke. There's the Jedi Order, it's got to end.
Yeah.
Because it's not right. It doesn't belong to one group of people or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But then when he does his force trick... His projection, his astral projection across the galaxy, which was cool, and the idea was cool.
Yeah.
He says to Kylo, I will not be the last Jedi. As in, Rey will continue the thing.
Right.
Pass on what you have learned. You know, and then we saw the kid pull the broom
yeah.
over, and we see that there's other force sensitive. The force is allowing this to happen
right.
again. So there's going to be more Jedi, but there's nobody to fucking teach them. Who's going to teach them how to meditate?
Rey.
How to fight. Rey don't know anything.
Rey.
But she's got those books.
Yeah, but Yoda done said everything that she needs to know is already in her head. Well, how does she pull that out? So there's no
she,
more.
She's not going to have a teacher.
There's no more master system.
Right.
There's no more master apprentice system. Right. I guess is what they're trying to say. So it was the last Jedi, but he wasn't the last Jedi, and now it needs to end, but it's not really going to end.
Right.
So which is it? I was saying
exactly. So it really left us with this whole feeling of we don't know. I mean, the movie really created more questions than answers.
It did. Honestly, the whole thing really didn't accomplish anything but killing people on both sides.
Right. That we thought were integral plot points.
Right, exactly. And then they chose their respective sides. Rey is going to stay light side. She's not going to dabble in dark side.
Light-ish, I guess. Because she did get drawn to that hole pretty damn quick.
Well, Luke did too, though, before the cave.
Yeah.
So it was like, she's going to stay there in the light. She's not going to dabble in the dark and be a balanced person, a gray Jedi. And Kylo is still struggling too, but she's not. Like, Kylo's kind of still struggling. She's not. She's pretty clearly a light side girl.
Yeah.
So essentially this movie just really accomplished the resistance or the rebellion got cut down to 10 people.
Yeah.
And Snoke died and lost his flagship. Okay, so let's talk about Supreme Leader Snoke. So we had another big thing that we should have been paid off properly, and I think we were robbed.
Yeah.
For years we've had this thing. You had theorists out there: who is Snoke? Is he Darth Plagueis? Is he some ancient light dark side user?
Some people even thought he was Mace Windu.
Yes, there's been everything, and then you think, okay, well, you're going to find out, and then you're going to be, whatever. Even if it's something brand new, that's fine. You don't have to be an old character,
right?
Let's not forget, people thought he was Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, even Jar Jar Binks was an actual theory. If you read the books, the Aftermath books, there are hints that he is this ancient user, right, from outside of the known galaxy that called out to Palpatine and stuff. But if you're not a book reader and a Star Wars nerd and you're a casual movie watcher, you wouldn't know any of this.
Right.
So in the movie, he simply gets killed. Now, I will say that was one of the best scenes was the throne room with him.
That was the best fight scene in the whole movie.
That was the only fight scene.
Because there was no lightsaber battle.
There was no lightsaber battle in the Star Wars movie. Just think about that for a second. There was no lightsaber battle in Star Wars Episode 8.
Right.
That's probably...
People held lightsabers. Yeah. People swung them at rocks. People swung them at holograms. Nobody clashed lightsabers.
Kylo and Rey fought, kinda.
No, they struggled over a lightsaber that broke in half.
Well, if you want...
They fought the bad guys.
They fought the guards, but the Praetorian guards who had the things. Wow. And red suits.
Yeah, so this was a Star Wars movie with no actual lightsaber battle.
Exactly. Well, if you want to count the Luke and younger Kylo Ren as a lightsaber battle.
That wasn't a lightsaber battle because he was a hologram at that point. He wasn't there.
No, he's saying the flashback when he was telling the story. No, he just blocked it and he pulled the roof down over his head.
Right.
Three different times and you got the real version the third time.
How many Star Wars movies have you ever watched that there's no actual lightsaber battles
one.
In? Let's think one, about that for a second.
Yeah, one now.
One.
One. Yeah.
This one.
Well, two.
So anyway, to get back to Snoke, I will say the fight scene, you know, it was cool that Rey, you know, it mirrored Empire where Luke is taken up to the Emperor by Vader to be turned. That was Jedi.
And I'm sorry, I actually got excited there for a moment whenever it happened. I'm like, yeah, Kylo's going to choose the light side or the gray side. They're going to join forces. Right. She's going to take his hand. It's going to be kumbaya. And then I'm like, wait a minute. This is not episode 9. This is 8. There's a whole other movie after this.
Right. So
that
now...
That can't be the story
with
arc.
With the Snoke death... You can't have a real Kylo redemption.
Right.
Because there's no big bad guy to fight if he does turn good.
Right.
Unless you do that at the very end. So that's obviously what they're setting up. And now we know it's got to happen that way. So now there's no surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill Snoke. And you had this perfect opportunity for him to sit there. Because he's showing how bad he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did the Force Lightning thing without even thinking about it.
He literally made her lightsaber fly around, pop her in the head.
Yeah, she tries to pull the lightsaber. He makes it hit her in the head and flies right back to the seat like a boomerang. That was cool.
Yeah.
He was just moving her around and controlling her like it wasn't shit.
Like a puppet.
And the whole time he's being so arrogant, he's telling Kylo Ren, you know, kill her, destroy the light, destroy the hope.
Right.
He pulls out his lightsaber. And while he's saying You know, I can read everything. I can read his mind. I see everything in his head. I see how this is all playing out. He doesn't see that Kylo's kind of manipulating his little finger over here and turning the lightsaber sitting right beside him sideways and cuts Snoke in half.
And so
right.
Basically what happened is we had a Darth Maul 2.0.
Basically. Yeah, we had a Darth Maul 2.0. He gets cut in half, but they had the perfect opportunity before that happened.
But the difference here, though, is now when Darth Maul got killed, you still had Plagueis, or not Plagueis, but
Palpatine.
Palpatine. You actually had a Sith Master. We don't know if there... I mean, is there one we just don't know about?
He
was the Master, and he's gone now.
It's just a guy who's tapped into the dark side, but really still doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And now, he has apparently got some training.
Right.
We're assuming some of that happens off screen, but that's the problem with this movie. Everything happens off screen.
Right.
Any kind of Kylo training from Snoke happened off screen, right. If there was some, or between the movies.
We've never seen it.
Any more training from Luke to Rey happened off screen, because they just argued the whole damn time.
And if this does follow Star Wars lore, which we don't know what it's going to do, then by him killing Snoke, should he not become the Master? Because, he wanted Rey to be, with Rey said
yeah,
nope.
he tried, but he's saying at the same time, which again, going back to the mixed messages thing, kill the past, forget the Jedi, forget the Sith, but yet he wants to be have an apprentice and teach her the dark side, but he don't even know the dark side. Right. He don't know shit. Rey don't know shit.
What you're saying is they should get a how-to book for dummies. How to learn
be a
Sith
or how to be a Jedi.
Yeah, how to be a Sith.
Yeah, and apparently maybe those books will help.
You know, if I could say if it was one big theme to this movie, it's almost like a bunch of younglings or children trying to figure out the Force.
Maybe that's what they wanted. Nobody's in like complete control.
Yeah.
And so they're all just learning and like the original, if you go back to the lore, which they've now destroyed.
Yeah.
The original Jedi Order that was founded on Tython, people got together. They didn't know what the hell was going on, but they realized they were all Force sensitive. So they learned together, but it took millennia for them to learn that stuff and pass it on. Now that's all destroyed. Apparently, they just want to go the route of resetting all that, I guess, where there's a bunch of people Force sensitive again, but they don't really know what they're doing, so it's setting up to be where there can be bad guys and good guys again, or because, again, the mixed messages thing. There's no gray. They didn't introduce gray. They talked about balance. Rey felt balance, but she's not leaning to the dark side like Kylo is. And you know what I'm saying?
You know, they saw that this could be the end of Star Wars. This could be the whole, you know, the whole gray idea. And Disney's like, oh, no. We got to milk that shit to oblivion. So now they're going to basically reset it, and so they can just keep on making Star Wars movies and pumping one out every 2 years.
Well, they've already said that they will continue to make Star Wars movies forever. And, you know, 100 years from now, they'll be doing Star Wars movies. We'll never see them. But they'll just be different stories or whatever. So, to me, though, it was a big wasted opportunity. And again, I will say this really quick. There's a theory that came out just a couple of days ago. Apparently, there was some character encyclopedia leaked online, and it showed, talked about Snoke a little bit, but it showed that symbol on the floor in the Jedi Temple.
Right.
Now, we glanced at that and thought it's the Jedi symbol. The actual little, you know, sword and the star behind it, whatever. It was not. It was the first Jedi, and Snoke apparently may be the first Jedi, which would destroy all the backstory and lore and the canon that we all know as Star Wars nerds.
Right.
If that's the case, that's fine, but they didn't give that a clear answer in the movie, so the average viewer will never know that unless that's confirmed in Part 9 in some way, where she's going through and saying, the first Jedi was somebody that's, you know, that was named Snoke. And then she realizes, oh, he's this ancient entity that started this whole shit.
I will say, I guess to be fair, you know, we're more into it than a lot of people because, you know, like I say, we grew up on it. And I know you studied the whole background. We've played the video games and everything. I guess to be fair to somebody taking their kid to see this for, you know, Christmas or whatever, there's going to be people who's going to walk in. They're not going to care about any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
They're going to say, oh, you know.
That's what I'm saying. For visually, it was a great movie.
You're right.
It was good.
And if I was 7 watching this, I probably wouldn't be saying nearly any of this.
Right. You know? I mean, if you just want some action and, you know, and just good visuals and special effects and all that, it's a great movie. But when you're thinking about the story, it's just not there.
It doesn't even stand up to a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I mean, and what is there is just mixed. You don't really know where, like, they're trying to do twists, and it's like it's ruining it. They're doing, it's not just a wrong twist.
Right.
It's just that they're forcing the twist in there to be twists.
I think the original trilogy, when you look back at it, was an accidental success. Empire is arguably the best movie ever made. I think what's going on now is they're trying to make Star Wars movies. They should need to stop trying to make a Star Wars movie and just make a damn good movie.
Yeah, and
a good story.
And I wanted them to take risks. Like, yeah. I didn't want it to be a repeat of Episode 7, where it was an exact copy, exact clone of Episode 4, where this was to be a clone of 5.
Yeah.
So I do like that they balanced that out, but this was like risky in a different way that just didn't pay off, I don't think, overall.
Yeah.
Okay, the next big point. Luke Skywalker. Was it just me, or did you guys feel like that basically Luke's just a big pussy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You summed it up.
Yeah, and I think I know why. I think that whole thing with Kylo and his order falling apart, which, by the way, what about the Knights of Ren? We never saw them.
Never saw another word about
them. We saw the thing with him and, you know, supposedly, which, by the way, that whole scene with him and Kylo, that felt like an old episode of Steve Urkel or something, some sitcom. Everybody was telling the story from their perspective, and you had to see the same scene, like, okay, yeah, Luke, like, and, no, this is how it happens. Like, Kylo's like, no, this is what happened.
And then the third time, you get the real version.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they did mention that he took a handful of students away.
Right.
But so they never mentioned Knights of Ren? Apparently they became the Knights of Ren, but you never hear anything about them again.
Maybe that's in the third movie.
You hadn't seen them in this Episode 7. Where are they at? Or are they the guards that he killed? If Kylo's the leader of the Knights of Ren, where are the Knights of Ren?
There again, that's...
They just didn't mention them.
That's, to me, that stuff that would have been more important should have been in the movie, rather than some of the other side stuff that they did.
Going off to a casino Vegas planet to find some hacker.
And saved animals, which I love animals, but come on, people. We ain't got to start pandering to PETA and everything in these things. Come on.
Exactly. So, back to Luke. Okay, so you have Luke Skywalker. First off, like I said, there was some jokes that were... Some things were funny, some things didn't work. You had him throwing the lightsaber over his shoulder. And I remember the theater was like, what? Everybody's kind of had that look on their face, like, what the hell? And then
he literally milks the blue cow.
He milks the blue fucking cow. It was like, and he almost broke the fourth wall. He squeezes on the titty. He squeezes on.
Fills up his little sports
bottle. He fills up his sports bottle and takes a drink and goes, ah. You know, like to the audience, like, you remember, you know, Aunt Beru?
Hey, this is blue milk.
This is the blue milk. Aunt Beru, wink, wink, back in it.
Yeah.
Why? And then they go on to a little cliff.
And he does.
He pole vaults across the cliff, and I'm thinking, what the hell is he doing? Is he going to do some flips and shit and show off?
Right.
Nah, he was just stabbing a fish with a 40-foot pole. We had to know how Luke ate.
So.
And he carries this big fish back to the hut.
It's almost like it was a big F you.
They tried too hard. So those kind of couple of scenes were odd. But the big thing, obviously, is his death. Or you can say ascension. So he's stuck on the island, or he does retap into the Force.
Right.
He turns it back on because of, again, we talked about what the good part.
He reaches out to Leia, which is awesome.
He reaches out to Leia, and you think, okay, this is the here comes Luke fucking Skywalker.
He's gonna be Jedi.
We're gonna see this badass shit. He's right. Because in Return of the Jedi,
yeah, because he was broken in this movie.
He was broken, and that's fine. I can understand it. But then, you know, R2 showing him the message,
right?
Him meeting Rey and kind of learning, you know, what her
perspective. He's gonna put his big boy britches on and come handle
business.
Exactly.
He's gonna get off the island and come handle shit. So he walks up in the base. He looks a little younger. Didn't think about things then, but looking back, you know, he looks a little younger. He's got the darker robes on.
Yeah.
He talks to Leia, kisses her on the forehead, gives her some golden dice that I don't remember from anything. This was not Spaceballs.
Which apparently belonged to
Han Solo. He walks by 3PO and winks, which is not Luke Skywalker. Like, the whole, you know, Luke don't wink. He don't wink to people. Anyway, so I'm still like, okay, he's going out the door. He's going to go out there, and he's going to face all these AT-ATs and Kylo Ren and his ship, and he's going to pull out his saber.
That's going to be the big battle.
And he's going to do some amazing Force shit we've never seen. You know, he's going to crush him like 10 cans, something.
And then he's going to go away like... And I figured it would rhyme. I figured he would be like, you know, since he was the... Obi-Wan character that he was going to sacrifice himself to let them escape.
Right. Something like that.
Right.
So when they started firing at him, and then he comes off, and he does the little... Now, I don't mind that. That was kind of cute. Yeah. Right. But it's like, I wanted to see exactly what he was doing, but it didn't tell you. And I didn't think about this either. When he walked out there, he didn't make any footprints. The other guy, the general from the trench, made the red footprint because the red shit underneath the dust.
Right.
So then Kylo comes down. It was to goad him. He pulls out his saber. You see Luke, and you're like, okay, we're going to see a lightsaber fight. He's going to fuck him up. Like, you know, because it's Luke Skywalker. This is Luke fucking Skywalker. Yeah. From 1977, we've seen this kid grow up from this farm boy, go on this adventure and become this badass. And we never got to see the special effects in the old movies.
By the way, in Return of the Jedi, Luke was a full-on badass. He was almost dark side. He was force-choking people.
He force-choked the Gamorrean guards and everything. Yeah, he was doing some dark side stuff. But
there again, lended that he could be great. But
Yes. So... Anyway, then he comes down. He does a couple Matrix Neo style dodges,
which was cool.
And I was like, okay, that's a start. Yeah. And then actually, you know, Kylo actually cuts through him and misses, and he turns around. And he's fine. And you're like, and then it flashes back, and he's still on Octo.
Right.
Now, at first, I was like, oh, because it's a good trick.
I thought maybe he like somehow faced through it like the Flash does or something.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been. Yeah, but when he showed him when you showed him on the planet, you're like, oh, so he's like projecting himself physically. So that's kind of cool. But then when you think about it, it really takes away from the barrage of blaster bolts missing him, obviously, because he wasn't there.
They were just shooting the dirt.
Yeah. He didn't have to really dodge anything.
Right.
So it really took away from his physical ability, in a sense, even though it was a cool idea.
Right.
And then he's just like, you know, and here comes the mixed message, by the way. You know, they're going to keep, you know, putting this in your head. No Jedi, but I'm not the last Jedi, by the way. See you around, kid, and disappears. And then, of course, you see him collapse. And I'm thinking, okay, that took a lot out of him. If he died right there, I could understand it.
Right.
But he wakes up, and it was kind of knocked out for a minute. He wakes up, he's kind of recovering. It took a lot of juice and energy.
Yeah.
And then he climbs back up on the rock, and he looks into the sunset and just decides, you know what? It's a good time to merge with the Force.
Right.
And he's just gone.
Right.
Which
I think is actually what happened with Obi-Wan. I don't think Vader actually killed him. I think
he didn't. He disappeared before the blade hit him.
Yeah.
He did. But he did that for a reason.
He was doing it to save them,
to let them get out of
there. Right, and that's what...
In this movie, it was kind of like that because they were escaping.
Right.
But at the same time, it was a pointless death because he wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, if you're going to kill him like that, Luke Skywalker, who we never got to see... be a badass. If you're going to kill him like that, saving people, you might as well have him on the planet actually saving people.
Yeah, exactly.
He should have been out there, and they start blasting with these giant blaster bolts, and he should have been just holding his hand up, and they're all just like scattering off. Or maybe he blocks a few with his saber, then he puts it up, and he just puts a force field around him or something like that.
Right.
Something cool, and then he just goes like this, and you see one crumble into a tin can. Something big and badass. Mm. And it just didn't happen.
No.
So I just felt like if he wasn't there, the death was pointless.
You know, looking back at the movie, I mean, it's obvious, and I think they even said this at some point when they approached Mark Hamill about this. They said, would you like to play an Obi-Wan type character? So he was kind of filling the role in this movie of not only Obi-Wan, but also Yoda. He was the trainer. He was the teacher. Well, by that token, we should have seen some kind of awesome fight with Rey with a lightsaber.
Right.
Other than the Snoke scene, which...
Right, but it was fine and it was cool, but it wasn't a lightsaber battle. It was not. It was like, yes, they're highly trained guards or whatever, apparently.
Her and Kylo cannot... Neither one can... They're almost like equal forces.
They are. And that's the idea.
Yeah.
You know, he rose in the dark side, she rose in the light to meet him. So he's there to counterbalance.
Yeah.
So they fought together, and during that scene, I thought it'd been a little cooler if they would have used the Force more than just lightsabers.
Right.
Because he was getting choked out like he couldn't do anything else.
Mm.
He could have just lifted the guy up behind him or something. But it was cool though when Ben, and she throws the lightsaber, he catches it and just turns it on and it goes through his face. That was cool.
Right.
But anyway, back to the whole. I just think the Luke thing, the way he went out was just. It was almost a slap in the face of Star Wars fans.
Hi, we're back with We Hate Star Wars.
I know.
I know that's what this video feels like. Well, honestly, we don't.
Yeah, All right, so I know this has gone on longer than we expected, but we wanted to get it all out there. So to close this up and wrap us up, we'll talk about a couple little things. But first, the last major thing, Carrie Fisher.
Right.
My beautiful first crush, Princess Leia. I thought for sure that they, instead of killing Luke in this one, that they would have her go out saving people.
Right.
Or even the space scene where, you know, and we did get to see her use a force power finally, even though I didn't really like that force power. I thought it would have been better if they, you know, blew up the bridge or whatever. Akbar gets killed. She's thrown in a corner or something, and then she, like, lifts some rubble up or whatever off somebody or self. That would have been cooler.
Side note, I didn't know Akbar was still alive.
Yeah. He was, and he just got blown to smithereens. So that's what I mean. Really, this movie basically accomplished just kind of chipping away at everybody, each that's side.
Right. I even said at some point in this video, it almost felt like somebody marking off tick boxes on a list. You know, let's have Phasma fight Finn. And let's finish that one up. But they did, but they didn't. But anyway, back to your point.
Yeah, so I just thought it was, I think most people expected, since, you know, unfortunately in real life, Carrie Fisher has left us, that they would, you know, in the movie, go back and, you know, or... I know they had basically had this done when she actually died, but it's like you figured they would go ahead and finish her storyline. They could have cut it right there
in
space.
When she was in space, that scene of her, because, you know, it was weird. When they showed her in space, she looked to me almost like young Carrie Fisher. I saw.
Yeah, there were some times. You could really see her. There were some times they definitely did something to her face because you could see young Carrie Fisher.
She would glimpse through a little bit.
There was some glimpse things there, exactly.
And with that crystalline and that all that reflecting off of her skin, freezing everything, that would have been a beautiful ending shot. But no, they didn't.
Yeah, so they decide to give her, and like I said, I didn't expect her, like in the books, to carry a lightsaber and flip around, but at least some telekinesis. But she pulled herself back to the ship, which, again, at least it was something.
Right.
But it was odd. And for her to end up with Rey at the end and not Luke.
Right.
Really makes no sense because of the real life situation. So now, since they've already committed to not doing CGI, which I agree with, I don't want them to do CGI.
Right.
With that being said, now we're going to have to learn off screen. So I don't know how they're going to do that, whether they say she's on some mission somewhere and she just never returns, or they actually say she...
Maybe she goes to the Outer Rim.
Maybe it is. So they're going to have to explain that. So I thought that was weird. And again, it just kind of ties into the Luke death. It makes no sense for Luke to die the way he did, when it could have been Carrie Fisher walking out that door saving everybody.
Right.
And Luke actually being there. And getting everybody off, and her and them and Rey and everybody going off.
And
them
for the first time in forever, we could have seen her, like you said, you know, her force choke somebody or something.
I mean,
lift the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Smack her son around a little
bit. Reach up there and grab him, pull him. Hey, come here, you little bastard.
And then at least with the Han...
you killed your daddy.
At least it would have been kind of full circle with Kylo killing Han.
Yeah.
At least it would have been full circle if he killed her in some way while she's taking up his time to save... everybody.
He was thinking about killing Leia, because remember
but he stopped. Right. So there again, that was showing that whole he's still conflicted.
Right,
thing.
He let off the button.
You know, because you know the way they teased that in the trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to kill his mom. I'm like, okay, that's how they're going to get rid of Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you expected about this movie happened. Which there again, like we've said from the onset of this, it's a good thing that you know that they're getting off the rails.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a good thing for them to...
But still tell a story.
It's a good thing to have twists. It's a good thing to go in a different direction and not be too safe.
Right.
But it's another thing to have these build-ups and then the payoffs are literally not there.
Right.
No payoffs whatsoever. Right. Little things. Captain Phasma. You had a fight with Finn there. First off, I didn't like the whole side story with Finn. I didn't think with him and the girl. Because it goes back to the premise we mentioned earlier about the running out of gas thing. They have to go off and find some hacker to break into the shields. But when they do break into the shields for a second, if he can do that, why not just go back to the main ships and break all the shields and then attack them?
Right.
So I didn't like the side story. And then the Phasma-Finn meeting, you know, you had a cool little fight there for a second. I will say really quickly, she got blasted. It deflected off her armor. Why is every stormtrooper not wearing that armor? I understand they can't all wear it because they'd all go blind from their own fucking deflections.
Yeah.
But it's at least the substance. You have Brienne of Tarth coming in Star Wars to make a big splash, and then she had no story.
Exactly.
And then we didn't get anything this movie to make up for it. No backstory.
But if you want a Phasma story, they have a book about Phasma.
But that's
the leading, and that'll probably be another movie, of course. You know,
gets into the marketing stuff. And I don't have a problem with marketing. It's just that when they do it, when it hurts the actual product, I have a problem with marketing. Right. Anyway, so the other little thing, the Hunger Games reject.
Yeah, the Mon Mothma character.
Mon Mothma's repeat lines.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Again, there's some symmetry there. But
with her purple
hair.
Why
act like the way she acted? She didn't fit a Star Wars movie at all.
And she was just an asshole to everybody.
Yeah, just tell Poe the plan. Yeah, Hunger Games reject. I didn't get her. Now, I will say this, something great about the movie. Because when she said, I need to stay behind to pilot the ship, I said, no, you don't. It's called autopilot. You don't have to do anything. And plus, you just turn it off. Just take the keys. It's space. It'll keep going.
Yeah.
Just get off the ship with everybody. But then when she actually sat down and turned that sumbitch around and did the light speed through the fleet.
Yeah.
That was badass.
That was the best part of that whole character.
It was. So I liked her in the end, but just the whole act was just unnecessary. But the light speed.
So I guess she was supposed to be a throwaway character.
I get everybody was a throwaway character in this movie.
Apparently.
But I did like the light speed bust through the damn thing and cut the ships, and that was pretty badass.
That was awesome.
That was never been done, so that was cool. Because we heard Han talk about that back in the day. You can't just go, this is not Dustin Cropp's kid,
exactly,
type of thing.
Exactly.
So that was cool. Okay, a couple good things. We've already mentioned this really quick, R2's projection to change Luke's mind. We go back to the original Carrie Fisher, Obi-Wan, help me, you're my only hope.
Seeing Yoda.
Yoda coming back was cool. I really like seeing Yoda as a Force. We expected Force Ghost. Some people expected Anakin.
Yeah.
So it really should have been Obi-Wan if you think about it.
Right.
But yeah, I understand they can't really do that.
But that was a fan service. But that to me, that was a well-done fan service.
Yeah, I mean, it should have.
The other crap.
Ewan McGregor. You can't do Ewan McGregor. And, of course, Alec Guinness is gone. You can't use him without really screwing it up.
Right.
So you do Yoda. And at least they did the right Yoda. So I enjoyed Yoda. I enjoyed their little chat there.
Yeah.
But again, it kind of goes back to the mixed messages thing. It's time to end the Jedi Order, but it's not really. I'm not going to be the last Jedi, by the way. Yeah. That's the other thing about Yoda, too, though, is like he was this old kind of, you know, character in Empire.
Yeah.
But then when you go back to the prequels, you see how badass he was. And that's what you expected from Luke that you never got.
Nope.
You just never got the biggest character in Star Wars history, arguably, as far as the popularity or central
character. And you can't say that they don't have the technology to do it now, because that was the whole thing with the older movies, is they didn't have the technology to make them flip around. But
exactly,
now they can.
Exactly.
They can do anything they want.
And stunt doubles and everything
else.
So there was no excuse for not having Luke go out in a better way or not go out at all. I mean, anyway, visuals are really good.
The
movie looked great.
Yeah.
There was a couple little minor things, but visually, the space battle looked great. Everything looks great in Star Wars. There's never going to be an argument about that. You know, people can argue some of the CGI things with faces, but whatever.
I thought it was good.
But this was a visually good movie. It just didn't have a story, really.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of a visual... I don't know. It was like a visual concept, is what it was, instead of a story.
It really feels like they just didn't flesh out their story.
Yeah, you know? I don't. I just think they just wanted to make everything different just to be different.
So what you're saying is, it looks like a Star Wars movie, but it really wasn't a Star Wars movie.
Exactly.
Right.
Because there was no, like I said, if you think about it, just think about this. If you're taking this to, if you already probably cut the video off, if you're a fanboy and don't want to hear the truth, think about it. You come into the movie. You got, basically, you're talking about Rey and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
They come into this movie, and at the end of the movie, they're in no different position
than
they were coming into it, other than being connected on a more physical level.
Right.
That's it. I did like the part where the little Force-sensitive kid on the planet pulled the broom towards him and looked up, and he saw the them taking off into hyperspace, and you saw Leia's ring for a second, and that gave the spark. They kept this spark of hope.
The spark of the
rebellion. I did like that. It was kind of cool.
And when Luke said, you know, everything you said was wrong, this is the beginning of the war.
Yes.
You know?
Everything in that sentence was wrong, just like he had told Rey and other parallels. So that was good, the parallel between Rey and Kylo. So I did like the little boy, and he was holding the broom kind of like a lightsaber with the silhouette. That was cool. One other thing I liked, there was new Force abilities. Now, I didn't love them, but I like that there was at least new things to do. Like the astral projection that Luke did was a great concept.
Mm.
Once you realize what it was, though, it felt a little like, well, he didn't really do that stuff. He didn't really block all those blaster things or didn't deflect them. It was just a damn hologram. But that the power itself is impressive. to be able to project yourself across the galaxy and look real and even fool your own sister.
Right, so...
was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I was kind of taken aback about was the fact, like, I was like, you know, here they go changing the rules again. Are you saying that it's... I don't know. I can say you study more of the background than I have. Is it canon for them to be able to create new force abilities as they go on?
Yeah,
like
there's
that?
There's always been new abilities pop up, and as they study and learn,
like,
whatever.
Like the one, like Plagueis was, you know, learning trial to cheat death.
Yeah, there's always been those things. Okay. And I will say I will say this for Luke Skywalker thing. There's still a possibility with Star Wars lore that he could come back physical. That is a thing.
Really?
They can go, if you get to that mastery level, you can actually vanish and come back. Now, that's possible, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think that was meant to be his
death. Was meant to be his exit.
His exit. Now, you know, just didn't feel like unless he just don't want to use spaceships anymore. And he did learn that he did think about killing him, so I can kind of understand why Kylo Ren's mad.
By the way, why did they even bother showing his X-Wing down in the water? I thought that was going to be another parallel.
Exactly.
That he was going to have her pull it up out of the water.
Or he at least does it himself and comes back with the actual ship and shows up and physically
up. That, there again, that with the whole, with the milk thing and the fish thing, that was pointless.
Yeah, I guess it was just to show that he left at some point after Jedi and got there with that ship, and there it is. That's how I got here. we had another Force ability with Snoke. We had the Mind Link. I thought that was kind of cool, but it was like a Vulcan mind meld almost.
Right.
Where he actually said he's the one who linked their minds so that it can actually see
each
other.
But he's dead and they're still linked.
Right, so I guess the link's still there that he apparently opened. All right, so we'll wrap it up. We've been going on for too long rambling. What's up, Kylo? He don't have the mask anymore. Can't use it.
Yeah.
He trashed it as well. So, I don't know. Overall, I want to love this movie so bad. It's Star Wars. I want to love it. I want to like it. I want to find great things about it and not be... So, I mean, it's not negative. It's just my opinion. I mean, people may feel differently, but I think a lot of people are mad about this movie from what I've seen so far.
I purposely did not read any reviews on Rotten Tomatoes till after I saw the movie and formed my own opinions.
Yes.
And when I go on there, I mean, there's obviously some people that loved it. But the majority of the comments is exactly the things we've been saying here.
I think the biggest thing is this lack of an actual story.
The actual story is just
And
boring.
There's just none of the payoffs. I mean, the payoffs would have actually, if they were different, they would have actually moved the story forward.
Right.
You would have learned something, but you learned nothing about Snoke. Right. You learned nothing about Rey. Doesn't matter. I mean, as far as her lineage.
Oh, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's a fun popcorn flick. It's meant, Star Wars is for everybody. It's not just, people are going to say, oh yeah, it's for little kids. No, Star Wars is for everybody.
It is. I mean, it is. I mean,
the thing about Star Wars.
And the original kids are now us.
Yes. Star Wars is for everybody. The whole thing with Star Wars is it don't matter where you come from, what language you speak.
That's
where,
right.
You love Star Wars.
It's just,
you're
it's
passionate
like,
about it. If you're a Star Wars nerd, you're a Star Wars
that's
nerd.
That's right. It's like sports and other things that other people say, I don't like sports or I don't like this or that. Well, these are the little things that get you away from your normal routine that connects everybody. This kind of pop culture, Star Wars, sports, these type of things are like the Force. They combine, they connect us all. People from different backgrounds, races, colors, creeds, everything. And you can come together, talk about this stuff. So.
Yeah.
We didn't mean to be overly critical, but I just had to get... I mean, I had to be honest. I'm not going to come here and say, it's just fucking great because it's Star Wars, really. You know, and wink like Luke. Like Luke did. I think that's it. Overall, I don't know. I don't really do scores, so I won't really give a score. But I'll just say, overall, great visually. The story had problems. The side stories had
problems.
The
characters had problems.
The premise had problems based off what they were doing as far as the distance thing that allowed the side stories to happen in the first place. Why they had to go out and do the side stories didn't work for
me. There again, it goes back to your writing.
And the biggest thing
was just weak.
The biggest thing is just the lack of payoffs.
Right.
You didn't learn anything about anybody. And unless you're a book reader, you'll never know.
Right.
You'll never know. Unless... And I'll hold out a little spark of hope.
Yeah, because like they have the movie.
They have this grand plan for episode 9 to reveal all this stuff, and Kylo was lying about Rey, and Snoke is this person because she found it out somehow.
Right.
Unless they have a grand plan, but I'm not going to bank on it.
That's where I'm at. I left this movie, but like I say, disappointed, sad. There's always hope, I guess.
That's right. There's always a spark.
Look. Let me leave y'all on a high note. These little guys right here, these little poor guys... You see Chewie eating one of them?
That was funny.
That was funny. And that little thing's doing the little doe-eyed thing at him.
Yeah,
and at the end of them, they're on the ship, and everybody's like, oh, he made friends. He didn't make friends. He got lunch.
Oh, yeah. He just he took some to cook up for later. I didn't mind the porgs. Yeah. I thought I was going to go in and there was going to be like an overdose of porgs. I didn't mind the porgs.
Right.
I didn't mind the temple keepers, you know,
right.
or whatever. They kind of looked odd, but you know, it's Star Wars. That's fine. But anyway, overall, I think it was okay. Okay, I'll just say okay, but you gotta have those
right.
payoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, guys, we'll wrap it up. We went on for way too long, but we wanted to get all this out there in our honest opinion. So let us know what you think in the comments below. Thanks to Eric and Dustin for being on Smokescreen.
ZDG.
I will leave a link to Eric's channel in the comments below, or in the description below as well. He does some caricature stuff and art stuff and some scuba diving stuff and all kinds of good stuff. So I'll leave those links as well. Dustin still has a channel, I believe.
It's still there.
You've seen Dustin on there before. You've seen Eric on there before separately, but Dustin had put up a video.
Mine is still there.
I'll link all that stuff in case he decides to go back to YouTube as well. But anyway, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for watching. Let us know what you think. Thanks to everybody on Patreon especially. Yeah. I really appreciate all the support. You have no idea, while this channel is down in the off season of Game of Thrones, it literally lets me continue to do this full time. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.